Hey, everybody. Welcome to the UGA Sports Live podcast. My name is Roddy DeBulsi. I'm joined by Dane Young, Dave McMahon, Jim Donnan, and Jake Roos. Everybody is here. We're a day later than normal, but there was a good reason for that. We had a special interview for you yesterday. Coach Donnan and Dane Young had Paul Feinbaum on. He talked for 30 minutes about Georgia. He talked about Florida and Oklahoma and Clemson and a bunch of teams that Georgia's going to face. He talked about Saban and Alabama. It's a fantastic interview. You need to check it out. It's the only reason we'd bump our show for 24 hours. Plus, we had a couple scheduling issues. But other than that, the fact that we had a great interview with Paul Feinbaum that you need to check out. I know he's not everybody's cup of tea, but folks listen to him. Folks check him out. And he has great guests. And, you know, a lot of people go on his show. He actually came on ours. So we thought that was good enough to drop into our normal Tuesday noon spot. So if you haven't had a chance to go see that, I know tens of thousands of people have, but you could be 10,001. So go check out the Paul Feinbaum interview with UGASports.com. It's a great piece. And I appreciate Coach Donnan and Dane Young knocking that out.
I want to say too, Roddy, real fast, that like we're just really trying to make an effort in the off season to let you hear some other voices that you may not always through our networks. And we know a lot of people, obviously Coach's network is full. We've all met people that we want to hear from, and we're trying to get some exposure to some of the other sports at UGA too. So if you go back on our feed, you'll have women's tennis coach Jeff Wallace. You'll have men's tennis coach Manny Diaz. We've got Jack Bowerly on tap. That's already been recorded. We have to put that out there too. So got a lot of good stuff coming in off-season content from UGASports.com.
And I mean, heck, we had Jeff Foxworthy on not too long ago, so there's a lot of big names coming through, and we appreciate those shots. We're here at Classic City Eats. If you get a chance, swing by, check out the place. They're putting in each Sunday. They're working on their back room that has the golf simulator in it, and that is scheduled to be here later this month. So you can come here and play your simulated golf and bring your leagues in and have all that. They got the big smoker in the back, new menu, fantastic place. You can see the game room behind us. We'll go back there, play a little skee ball or motorcycle race, you know, when the show's over. But if you get a chance, swing by Classic City Eats in Watkinsville. It's on Highway 15, the Greensboro Highway, just past the railroad tracks.
Just like Alice's restaurant.
I know you're going to go there. I know you're going to do well. So, anyway, just recently, it was starting last Thursday, we had the NFL draft. Record number of Georgia players drafted. Then a bunch of them signed free agent deals. And it was funny to see some people saying there was this whole subtext going on about Kirby developing talents. And I'm like, well, you know, it's got a 3-star in the first round. But then they pointed to some 5-stars that transferred or did not get drafted high. And I don't know. I'm like, if you're getting record guys drafted, and then we had a story from Brent Rollins, you could have another record next year. That seems like a good thing to me, but maybe I'm just being too literal. Coach, give me your thoughts on the draft and how you think it worked out for the Dogs.
I thought it was really good. Full of what kind of players Georgia's developing, and also the potential they got for the league. Certainly, there's always going to be some surprises about people. Well, this guy should have gone higher. Or this guy, why didn't he do that? You know, it's not an exact science, but it really is a different situation now without the combine this year, without the, the pro scouts actually going around as much. You know, you had the pro days, but I really think it helped a little bit as far as the kids being a little fresher at the pro days, not having to, you know, do everything that they normally do. So the time's maybe probably a little bit better than they would have been if they'd have been at the combine and had all these private workouts and everything. So overall, I know I talked to Urban Meyer. He was ecstatic about getting the two corners, particularly, being able to pick up Campbell, right at the first and second round. And DJ Daniel is a good cover guy. All you got to do is go back and look at some of Brent Rollins' tape, which I would encourage people on our site to watch some of this stuff that Dane and Brent put out, because, you know, as a former coach, there's not anybody putting this kind of stuff out there really, you know, that knows what they're doing really. I mean, you can to coaches and pros and all, but as far as just websites, I mean, this kind of tape that they're putting out is outstanding. And you can see DJ cover Chase in the championship game 2 years ago, and this guy went third or fourth in the draft, and this guy was smoking him the whole time as far as just being on top of him and out of his route. So I think as much as I would like to have him back for another year, I think he's going to probably make that Jacksonville squad because he's a good special teams player. Of course, Ojulari, you know, is going to a guy that Kirby's got a lot of input with Joe Judge. You know, they work together. And he took Thomas last year, and now he's taken – and he had Tate Crowder last year, who Schumann recommended to him. And I think just the fact that talking to the trainers, the fact that he had an injured knee probably put him down a little bit, you know, and his height is a little bit not quite as big as they want. But he's an explosive guy. He'll do really well in that system. And, you know, three defensive players there, Stokes, I'm talking about him last. I had a chance to talk to Mel Tucker. He was drafted, and Mel's was just bursting out with pride for the young man because he did, you know, pick him out just like Roddy and Jake did at the track meet. But I think the way this guy's developed and the way he's, you know, as a player, as a off the field, everything about him is confidence level. I mean, he's very, very cut now. I mean, he's a lot bigger kid. You look at skinny kid coming out of high school. So that he's what the doctor ordered. When we had Daniel Jeremiah, I'm going to close here and let everybody else talk. But when we had Daniel Jeremiah on our podcast predicting the draft and telling us about where they were going to go, he said that it could go either way with Stokes or Campbell going first or second between the two, but they were going to be really close. There wasn't pretty much any difference between them. And we saw that, you know, Campbell went just right after Stokes. So that's a good projection that Jeremiah had. And the one thing I would say about him that I would give him credit for, out of the 100 guys that he projected, the top 100, 88 went in the top 100. So that's a pretty good profile.
That's a pretty good percentage. And
UGA Sports had him on live for 30 minutes. So I congratulate working that out and the ability with him and set it up, and then I interviewed him along with Dane. But I'm telling you, those are pretty good stats for those two guys to get drafted like that. And then we saw the other ones. I won't go through that. I'll let Jake take over. But I say our draft was outstanding. I mean, I hit Kirby up. I said a little different than 2016 when we had McKinnon taking it and McKenzie taking it. I can't even remember. Was it Isaiah? What's his last name?
Yeah, Isaiah McKenzie.
Yeah, fourth round. That was our only draft pick the first year he was here. So he hit me back with a little chuckle there. But it basically pretty much shows you the way this program's building up.
Yeah, I mean, I got to tell you, I there were two big surprises for me in this draft when it came to Georgia. And I think the first was Azeez Ojulari slipping out of the first. I understand the concerns about the knee. I don't have any personal concerns about that. I think he showed in every opportunity that he had that was going to be fine long-term. And also just not a guy that you want to be playing against with a chip on his shoulder now as a second round pick. But the other one that really surprised me and I was really happy to see was Monty Rice in the third rising up to the Titans. I thought that, you know, that was a really interesting spot for him to go. I thought that Ben Cleveland might come off the board before he did. I thought Monty could even possibly slip to a fourth or fifth round guy just because, you know, he's had some injury concerns. He's a little undersized. He's a guy who's played a lot of games, got a lot of tread on those tires, but it really speaks to what Georgia has done at that linebacker spot, that they sent another guy in the first three rounds at the linebacker spot to go along with Ojulari there. I couldn't be happier for Monty Rice. Well-deserving, but like I said, one of the big surprises I thought of the day.
One thing, Monty Rice here, and then I'll let Dane jump in there. If you see some of these highlight tapes of Alabama and their different receivers, one of the things that's really saying in there is the fact that one of the shots when we're playing two-man, Monty Rice is running down the field with Jalen Waddle. And, of course, Waddle catches a ball, but he's all over him. And I think that's something that the pro guys need to have is a linebacker that can cover. I mean, you can get guys that can play in a phone booth and knock people back, but it's a game now. It's a spread situation, basketball on grass, and you got to be able to cover people. And he's been trained by Glenn Schumann, Dan Lanning, Kirby Smart to play all these matchup coverages. And, you know, he's going to go in there day one and not have to, you know, recognize all these things these coaches are talking about. He can play those coverages and play linebacker. And that's probably why he went in the third round. And the other guy that surprised everybody but didn't surprise the people that watched him at this Senior Bowl was Trey McKitty. Here's a guy that was injured here. I remember watching the first scrimmage last year in the fall camp, and he hurt his knee and got behind a little bit and didn't get to play a lot. But this guy caught a lot of balls for Florida State. And the thing that really pushed him over the top, talking to a couple guys like Todd McShay and Mel Kiper, was the fact how much he developed his blocking here at Georgia. Now, everybody gets on, and now Roddy gets mad about tight ends not catching the ball.
But the ball!
These pros need these guys to catch, be able to catch it, but they got to be able to block some of these non-technique outside linebackers and all. And you watch some of our 12 personnel with him and Fitzpatrick and him and Darnell Washington in the game, and they were very vivid in the way they can move the pile. And I think that helped him go in a third round.
The NFL draft is such an interesting case because it's kind of a leaderboard of what the pro teams think of the college programs. And so for Georgia's case, there's been enough time that's passed that we have an accurate sample size of what Kirby Smart develops. And when he first got the job at Georgia, he said there are two things that he needed to fix, and that was offensive line. They needed to get bigger there. Well, Georgia just had two linemen drafted, five over the last 2 years. And they're all going to have a shot to play in the NFL. The other thing is that defensive backs had to get better. And you obviously saw that with the class. That's the good thing, is that at a lot of positions, and I think we're going to see it with defensive line here in the next 2 years based on what's at Georgia and then what is to come. If there's anything to be slightly critical of, it's that in that top first round to fourth round, you're not seeing quarterbacks, you're not seeing wide receivers, and that's what's winning national championships. So if Georgia has a place to improve, it's in that passing game and the development of that. I think we're seeing that, but we're not seeing the fruits of that labor at the NFL level just yet.
Well, I think also to a point where they can really turn this thing around and really accelerate all their efforts is taking some of these former five-star guys and turning them into these first-round picks. You know, I think that we've seen a couple of guys who had that ranking who slid a little bit. I think that they've got a really good chance in this next class with all those guys to really make that kind of impact. But you want to see a guy like Tyson Campbell, who was a top 25 player in America, you know, get into that first round. Luckily, Eric Stokes was able to kind of pick it up, and that speaks well to development. But you also want to see that they take top-tier athletes and turn them into high picks as well.
I like what you said about with all those defensive backs. First of all, I'm going to go backtrack a little bit. Congratulate Dane Young on getting the exact number last week in the how many draft picks were taken. I also predicted correctly that the Falcons would not draft the Bulldog, which I think everybody else predicted that, that as well.
Way to go out on a freaking limb.
Like I said, everyone else predicted that as well. But Georgia had four defensive backs taken in the draft, which was the most by any other team in the country. It was the most Georgia's ever had in the history of drafts. It was the most in any specific draft, like tied with Miami Hurricanes things a couple, like many, many years ago. So congratulations on that. And Georgia also had six players just on defense alone taken, which is most by any other team by far. And the six, and I think that Georgia's defense is just going to get better and better and better. You lose six players that are worthy to be drafted and your defense can get better. I think that says a lot about how this team and how what Kirby is doing to make this team better and improving.
You hope. But we had a good story today by Jason Butt, who talked about the five defensive backs who are going to be on NFL rosters. And you hope that DJ Daniel makes the roster. He got a pretty quick undrafted free agent deal right off the bat. Four guys taken. So basically your entire secondary has all went to the NFL. But you lost a lot of guys to the transfer portal. You lost Devon Wilson, Tariq Stevenson, Major Burns, another one.
Branch
might hang up his cleats. We had a note about that. So you can lose nine guys in the secondary in 1 year, either to the transfer to the NFL. So you have to rebuild that secondary, and that's what we talk about a lot. So we'll talk about that when we come back. But I do want to give a quick shout-out to our friends over at Athens Ford. They do a fantastic job taking care of us, taking care of their customers that come in. If there were a draft for salespeople, all their guys are going the first round because they are just very, very customer service focused. They take care of you. Then they give you these crazy deals like a lifetime powertrain warranty on anything you buy out there that's, you know, new or under 80,000 miles. They have great deals for your trade-in. They have fantastic deals if you're a student, you get a $500 off coupon. If you're in the military, you know, veterans and active members of the U.S. military get $500 off. And you, I say student, but you could be a recent college graduate. So we're right here in May. They're going to have Sanford Stadium will be open for the graduates. We're very excited about that. So you folks, after, you know, when your parents are in town taking you out to that post-graduation lunch, make them swing by Athens Ford. Show them they, hey, look, I graduated. I'm good for it. Hey, let's look at a new vehicle. Let's look at a pre-owned vehicle. Let's look at one of the certified pre-owned vehicles, because they're your number one in the state of Georgia when it comes to certified pre-owned vehicles. So check them out. And, of course, if you're looking for a place to go eat, a good place to go celebrate afterwards, swing by Academia Brewing Company. You can come out here to Watkinsville at Classic City Eats, but if you want to take the family out and have a nice beer, go out to Academia Brewing Company. It's on the Broad Street right behind the racetrack out there, so you can't miss it. But basically beside the mall, they have the outdoor beer garden, which is fantastic. The weather's not today, but usually when the weather's great in the spring here, your whole family can sit out there. You'll have there's chef-inspired dishes all over the place. And I want to tell you about one of their new beers called Three Shades of Black. It's award-winning chocolate milk porter brewed with maple, bacon, coffee, and vanilla. I mean, you got to try it.
So that's up my alley right there.
Maple, bacon, coffee, and vanilla.
And then you take a nap.
And this isn't them dropping little bits of flavoring in there.
No,
they actually made it with the real stuff. So when you get a chance, that's an award-winning beer. Check out Three Shades of Black out of Academia Brewing Company. But, Coach, I want to get your thoughts on the secondary. We knew after spring practice, we talked about the secondary a lot, but to have five guys go to the NFL and then four guys hit the transfer portal, this just seems untenable. This seems like it has to make you nervous as a Georgia fan. It's like, well, who's left? I mean, there are guys left, but it's scary.
Well, one thing about it here, you're doing an all-encompassing thing when you got four guys in the transfer portal. Devon Wilson left back before the season started. Tyreek Stevenson left in the before spring, so there's two that have left since spring. So, but certainly there's four guys that have left for sure in this calendar year. So you're right there. But they had a chance to practice without Stevenson and Devon. And you know, I had a chance to talk to Gus Malzahn last week just for a second about I was recommending somebody to him, and I asked him how. They call him Newt. I asked him how Devon was doing, and he said he's doing great. He's starting for him. He's really a big part of their secondary. And, you know, Gus got a new lease on life down there with this job, you know, and he's fired up. And one of my ex-guys that used to work for me at Marshall is the equipment man down there, Rich Warner, and he's really fired up about the new staff. And for the Georgia people, one of the guys that used to help us do a great job for Kirby, Jesse Stone,
oh yeah,
who was at Arkansas, has just gone down to join Gus's staff as in a kind of an analyst role. So I'm happy for Jesse too. So we're breaking a little news there, but keep you a little up to date on Georgia people. But anyhow, I just feel like that the secondary is definitely a concern of anybody. You got to be concerned because of the experience, but there is some talent there. Kimber got a lot of work. Ringo got a lot of work. We know Speed's a big, strong, physical guy. And we got this kid coming in from West Virginia, and we'll probably get one more, maybe two. Who knows now with the Branch leaving. I think that's kind of a surprise because he was in the two deep at safety. But, you know, Chris Smith and Sean got a lot of work last year. Sean as a starter, and then he got hurt. But and then Chris came in for LeCount. So I feel good about that. The overriding thing is they're all going to go on the same bus with the offense, with the special teams, with the front seven, and they're not just going to be back there by themselves. They're going to get a good pass rush. They got good underneath coverage with the linebackers. N'Kobe Dean didn't practice this spring, but he'll be a stalwart. He'll be among the best players in the country as an inside linebacker. So it'll be a source of concern for sure, but there's some talent there. And we might not play as many coverages. We might not be as versatile in our nickel and dime packages, but we will be a very forcing defense and very talented defense. Just going to be inexperienced. But, you know, I say this about every 50. I'll say it again. You wouldn't want to go hire a kamikaze pilot if he'd flown 50 missions. You know, he's got a lot of experience, but, you know, he can't pull the plug. So I think certainly experience is important, but talent, Kimber's got the talent. You know, he's a little small, but he's getting better, bigger. And Ringo is unparalleled as far as physical ability that with the size and speed that he brings. That's why he's the number one guy in the country. So I would say, I'm not going to say the glass is half empty, but I'm not going to say the glass is actually tilting full. It's kind of in between there, and it's going to have to be some really good help from the forcing unit from the front seven to be a really good secondary early.
Well, Coach, I wanted to ask you too. I mean, when you're talking about this, I think when you're talking about guys like Major Burns, when you're talking about a guy like Debod Wilson, when you're talking about possibly a Deron Branch, you know, that feels like a lot of your depth. Your frontline guys are very strong, but, you know, what do you do to make sure that you're able to keep these guys fresh? Because we know Georgia likes to do a lot of rotating back there to keep those guys kind of, you know, up to speed.
Yeah, that's a good point. I mean, we play a lot of people. I mean, I think we played 37 people on defense last year when you count special teams and all that. But, you know, another guy I haven't mentioned that missed the spring game, and I didn't even know he was going to miss it till Roddy told me that he had COVID. And, I mean, he didn't tell me, he posted it. But Nylon Green had a good spring, and he's ready to go. He's just not experienced enough in the different things. But the other thing that's kind of a silver lining here, you got a new secondary coach that doesn't have any built-in feelings about any kid. You know, I mean, he doesn't have 3 years of working with him and think this guy can't do this or this guy. So everybody's got to open in, and that's why you're going to see maybe some guys surface that we hadn't heard about. And he does have the background where he's able to attract a major player there and a guy that played for him last year and that Smith kid from up Smith.
Yeah.
So I think that plus the fact, you know, Kirby's back there, and you also got Muschamp looking over their shoulder, giving advice and analyzing them too. I mean, he knows what it takes, you know, to play in this league. He just had a J.C. Horn drafted higher than any of our guys. So, you know, I mean, he knows what it takes. So it's definitely a challenge, no question about it. You can't put lipstick on this and make it a good-looking pig. I mean, it's a bad situation as far as experience, but, you know, it's just one of those deals where we're just going to have to play around some of our strengths and take this situation and make it stronger, and we'll see how it works. You know, I don't think Kirby – can do anything about it right now. I mean, if a guy wants to leave and doesn't feel like he can play, what the fans need to know is you have these exit interviews. I used to have them with guys, and one of the things I used to do, but when they would come in there, I would have some back then we didn't have the tape like we do now, but you know, we had film and breakdowns, and I would show them, these are the guys that are playing ahead of you, and this is why they're playing, and this is you, and this is why you aren't playing. And if you want me to your parents, I'll send it to you. But I don't want to hear any bitching and moaning about you not getting a chance. Here it is right here. It's pretty vivid. And I'm sure that's the same thing that what happens here with some of these guys. They look out there, and it's hard to see them, see the forest for the trees in a way a little bit because, hey, you're not going to be able to play right away. But, hey, let's be patient. And I will give two guys credit. Brenny and Speed have hung around here and done what they're supposed to do and really been part of learning what the system is. And that puts them in a position to be a starter going into fall camp. And that's all they can ask about. I know if you look back before the season started last year, everybody say, well, here's two guys probably going to transfer. Now, you know, they're a big part of our situation just because they're experienced. Now, whether they're ready to go or not, that remains to be seen. But these exit interviews are huge because – one of the things you got to do, and I've always felt like this, and I know parents have this, the worst thing you can tell your kid or a player is give them false encouragement about false praise about something that they realistically know you're BSing them about. Hey, tell them exactly how it is. Here's what you got to do. and here's what we need you to do to be able to play, and here's how you stand. And that's why Kirby's recruiting like he is, because these players, they talk to our players, he's going to tell you like it is, and he's going to train and develop you. In the case of Burns, I think maybe he just looked at it and said, look, you know, we've had all these guys leave, and I'm still not a starter. How is it going to be for me? And I'm not putting words in his mouth, but I would have to say that he's looking down a barrel of, hey, realistically, maybe I go somewhere else and play, but we'll see how that works out.
There's also the factor, too, of just after a year of the pandemic where everything has been secluded and people are kind of seeing what's next in their lives in terms of like kind of getting out and being active in public again. And, you know, for a lot of these kids, they're going to want to be closer to home. And so when they see that path there with the transfer portal of more and more players being able to do that, you know, I think one thing, and Paul Feinbaum was telling us in our interview with him, that the biggest challenge that college football faces is the transfer portal. And I think that one thing that we've seen happen, I've seen this with business too, that a lot of trends that were already kind of going in a certain direction pre-pandemic have just been expedited by the pandemic and gas thrown on that. And it just goes quicker and quicker and quicker. We're seeing that with the policies with the transfer portal right now. And in general, I'm mostly in favor of the portal. I think that players should have a bit more personal agency and a bit more freedom into that. But, you know, I will say that for whatever reason, the Major Burns transfer, and it's not him specifically, because I know he's got family in Louisiana. I know he's had some tragedy that he's gone through with a death in his family. So this is not about him in particular. I'm glad he gets to do what he wants to do. But for whatever reason, this was the first one that kind of irked me to be like, you just got here. Like I barely knew who you were by the time you got on the field. And there was a path for playing time. Not saying he would have been a starter, but it just seemed like, from my perspective, that there was a path for him to play there. So whatever factors outside of the football field, fine, great. But in terms of a football move, it just didn't make a lot of sense to me. And so that's the first time that I've gotten irked by it, to be like, this is a different sport than the one that I grew up watching. That doesn't make it bad, but it's different.
Well, in the case of both him and Tyreek Stevenson, you had a guy at homesick, Stevenson, I mean, in Miami, hitting him about COVID, all his friends around, all that. And it was more, to me, a situation of going home. Now, in the Burns case, I think a real telling situation will be, will LSU take him? If they take him, then that's going to be a big feather in his cap. But if they don't, then that's going to be a pretty good situation as far as telling us the evaluation process about whether maybe he's not quite as good as we thought or they thought. You know, hopefully he is. But I think one thing we always need to do is look in the mirror and look at what we're doing in any phase of a program. And right now, defensive back, we're missing on some guys. I mean, as far as coming in and playing, you know, we've had three leave here, you know, that we missed on Branch, Burns, you know, Micaiah Tongue. He was an athlete, but those guys just didn't pan out. Daniel, what's the guy's name that we got in here that's a safety that came in early?
Too? David Daniel.
David Daniel's a little small, but certainly got a lot of potential. But, you know, he's not ready yet, but he's going to have to get ready quick. And that walk on safety now coming more and more.
No, you're right, Coach. There have been a few that we've – oh, Coach, hang up.
He's just frozen, which oh, okay. He's got a, that's a good still of him there. I like that one.
when I think about some of the guys that they've missed on, some of the guys that transferred away, I always go back to Jonathan Abram, you know, how he blew up, you know, and then some other guys, you know, I'm very glad for Devon Wilson playing. It was actually one of my more favorite kids to talk to, Devon Wilson. He posted something the other day, you know, he being a starter is great. You miss on some of these kids, but my point is, everybody in Georgia gets so excited when you pull a kid from Texas, from Louisiana, from South Florida, from New Jersey, from Michigan, from California. You're like, all right, they're coming to Georgia. Sometimes those kids want to go home.
You know? Exactly.
It is something that plays into it. And then when that happens, we see people start going, I hate this transfer portal. You know, and I'm like, well, think about this. If you were and let's just say that a Major Burns goes through his exit interview, it feels like he doesn't have a good shot at playing time. Plus, he's got homesickness. He leaves. If you're a Georgia, you're like, oh, man, I'd hate to lose him. But at the same time, with the fact that the NCAA came out and said, yeah, you got immediate eligibility this year. If you're on a decent team or you're the best player on a bad team, you're like, man, we're going to go 5-5, or we're going to go 7-5, or we're going to go 6-6. But I'm going to be all conference. I could go to Georgia. I could go to Alabama. I could go to Ohio State. In other words, as much as you hate to lose your second, third, you know, your guys that help you get through practice, Georgia's not seeing a lot of – now, Tariq Stevenson was a tough loss there because that's a guy who you just penciled in as a starter. He helps you – he wins you the bowl game, you know, with a great play there at the end. But you're not losing a ton of guys right off the top. You're not losing a ton of five stars. Now, quarterbacks are a different scenario altogether, but it's not like you're losing left tackles and right tackles and, you know, all conference defensive ends and stuff like that. But who's going to benefit more from the transfer portal in Alabama being able to cherry pick the best players on average teams and a Georgia being able to do the same, or a 5-5 team being able to take away your second and third string guys? It's going to be advantage to the bigger teams. The rich are going to get richer by using the transfer portal.
Portal is basically like it's all about perspective. If you're getting the players, you love it. If you're losing the players, you hate it, basically. And Georgia's in a position of being one of those top tier teams.
Breaking a Trey McKitty, a Javon Williams.
Exactly.
Well, and it's not like, listen, you said it benefits Alabama because they're able to go in and cherry pick from bad teams. They just took a hell of a wide receiver from Ohio State. It ain't like they're having to take over the bones, man. I mean, this is a situation where, you know, that one time thing, the rich are going to get richer. I mean, the competitive balance of it is going to change everything for sure. I think that I like it. And I do, and we have a question here I want to throw to you guys, because I do think it's a really interesting one when we're talking about all of this. This one comes to us from Jordan Green over on the board. He wants to know, who do you think has the most to gain from Major Burns' departure? Is it a DB on the current roster, a DB possibly in the portal, or Major Burns himself?
I'm going to say it comes down to this, Coach. I'll get you to wait on this. The minute you see somebody leave, you see De'Ron Branch hang up his cleats, you see Major Burns leave, and people go, well, that gives us two more roster spots. But that's not always true because you have that initial counters rule. So to me, if you have a guy leave, a Major Burns leave UGA, and who was, again, just assuming that he was told in the exit interview, hey, you know, you're second, third on the depth chart, you know, you still got some development to do, but Georgia has room for an additional initial counter, then that helps Georgia the most because they can bring in a transfer who could play right away thanks to the new NCAA rule or the exemption. They can come in, count, he's under your 85, he's under your initial qualifiers. Georgia has a chance to improve there. But
yeah, here's the thing that really is tough to I hope I can make it clear. You know, we can take 25 initials a year,
right?
Okay, and we can have 85 players. So if we lose four guys that go to the pros or transfer or everything else, we don't get 29 initials. If anybody we bring in is going to be counting in the 2022 class. So if you bring a transfer in that's going to have to count as an initial, and then that initial counts into 85. So it's not all hunky dory there. You got to look at, hey, this guy better be able to play right away, or otherwise I'm going to bring in a guy I'm going to develop. So, but it's kind of a chicken and egg situation though, because we do, as you mentioned, we got a very perplexing depth situation there. So you're going to have to maybe be a little bit more liberal in taking that initial and say, well, maybe he might not be able to start for us, but he can give us depth. He can play star. He can play dime. He can play special teams. Or, you know, you might bring in a guy that might not be a starter, but just help your depth. But the biggest thing is having knowledge of him, because you can't make a mistake about him. And that's where having our secondary coach know about that kid from West Virginia, he knows what we had and he knows what's here. So that really helps you.
I thought that's a really good phrasing by Jordan's question, which, by the way, I know Jordan. He just had a baby son. So welcome, Henry, to the world. And shout out to Alice and your wife, Erica, too. Yeah, so shout out, Jordan. He's a coach down in Lawrence County where I'm from, and a friend of my family. So anywho, the question is a good one because it shows the kind of butterfly effect that all of these roster moves have. Because if you think about it this way, it took a running back leaving Georgia that had been committed for Tay Crowder to come at all. And Tay Crowder got that call on a Tuesday, right? Tay Crowder gets the Rose Bowl play. Tay Crowder gets drafted as Mr. Irrelevant. He's connected to Joe Judge. All of a sudden, Glenn Schumann has a connection to the NFL. Now, I mean, I'm sure he has plenty, but what I'm saying is that what Coach just told us is that his word helped Tay Crowder get a spot in the NFL. Butterfly effect goes crazy there in this kind of stuff. And so I think the person that's going to benefit most is probably a high school senior. Because one thing that I've seen from Kirby Smart is that when there is a deficit of something on the roster, they go hard to fix it. You've seen that with wide receivers when a couple of years ago, Georgia was kind of left out in the cold after a couple of situations. When Holloman had to leave, when a couple of tight ends left early that weren't expected. Georgia doesn't like to be caught unprepared. And not saying that they were with the secondary situation, because it's a lot of players that have left for multiple reasons, pro or transfer. But I would say that they're going to really load up at that spot, Jake.
Oh, no question about it. I mean, I think that honestly, they've loaded up at that spot in previous years. I tell people all the time, it feels like if there's an open spot, Georgia's very open to spending it on a defensive back. They go hard every year. They take a lot of guys. And I think that you're really seeing why right now. They realize what it is in this situation, in the current times with the transfer portal, but also just how the game has evolved. You know, you've got to be hitting on these guys, and the wider net you cast, the better chance you're giving yourself to come up with a good player who's going to be able to compete in the SEC.
Yeah, 20% of your team's defensive backs. I mean, you got four guys. That's the one position. You got four, you know, you can call them corner, safeties, nickel, dime, whatever you want to, but you got to, and you got to have eight, and you really need 10 when you look at special teams. So a lot of back and forth there, but the one thing that we had Mac Brown on, and he brought it out, and Kirby has spoken to me about it, and I've talked to other coaches, is just roster management 101. It just gets to be tougher all the time. Guys leaving early, guys transferring, people getting drafted, people getting hurt, one thing after another. I mean, you know, you look at Ringo's injury last year, really kind of helps us out just from the standpoint. Point of we had those five guys that they're playing in the pros now playing, so you know he would have played some, but now he got all that training, he's fresh, his shoulder's repaired, he tried to play with a bad shoulder, ready to go, and you know more than likely he'll just play 3 years, maybe two, I mean who knows, but that was pennies from heaven, just getting that there's an injury situation that benefits you a little bit.
Well, let me just toss this out there to all of us. Lavoisier Carroll's already moved over to take some snaps at defensive back. Is there another player on the roster that could potentially do that?
Another Mark Webb, you mean?
So, I mean, for that position, you're looking at – it's not going to be another running back, so I think you're looking at receivers, right?
Yeah, most people – a lot of players in the high school, the studs play both wide receiver and corner, so there's a lot of possibilities you could say that.
I don't particularly see it.
I think that would be what we call a New York Life situation. You know, we used to call it an insurance team. We call it the New York Life. You know, if we had a really catastrophic situation, we need to go. You just can't call the game off. And we would teach a receiver to play nickel back, or we'd teach a defensive lineman to come in on the goal line on offense, or we'd teach a offensive lineman to be ready to go in on our short yardage package on defense. It's just 10 minutes twice a week where you'd be on the New York Life team where you could play another position. And every team pretty much does that. Not as much as it used to, but I think we could see some New York Life policies getting enacted here around UGA this year.
Give me a Kyaris Jackson in that scenario.
He can do it.
He's just an absolute athlete.
Well, and how important does the spring performance of a guy like Dan Jackson look now? You know, a guy who was a walk-on, a guy who people didn't know a lot about, and then he kind of starts generating some buzz, and then all of a sudden, it feels like Dan Jackson's got himself a place in when it comes to depth on this team.
Javon Bullard also had a really good spring, and especially at the spring game.
Sure.
Yeah, I mean, I think Jackson, just a case of what to do. And, you know, Kirby's got a lot of confidence in him. But, you know, he's got some limitations. We'll just see how that works out. But that's a good point.
I think Darnell showed those limitations in the G-Day game.
You take, maybe so, but you take anybody in the country from college, they're not going to make that play. I mean, let's don't bust up them on that now. Come on, Dane, take it easy on him now. Can you tackle like
that? That's the greatest clip of all time. Yeah. Come on, that was great. The first person to get up and laugh about it would be him.
Dude,
I was hoping Dane was suggesting that they convert Darnell Washington to defensive back.
So. He was set up there, just knock balls down. And throw over this.
Run back and raise your hands.
But to your point, Coach, if Darnell Washington's running at me, I'm cowering in fear. That is not anything. No, sir.
I'm saying crap for that Las Vegas native.
I'm looking for my keys, man. I'm like, I'm out. Sorry.
A quick story here at Oklahoma. We had Tony Casillas, nose guard, just a trained assassin over there. I mean, Switzer used to say, if he's going to practice today, I'm not coming to practice. I mean, he didn't want this guy knock our center around. We were doing what you call the Oklahoma drill, and the center was trying to block him, and our O-line coach was getting on him, you know, hard, and finally, you know, just getting knocked back, and finally the center just stepped back and did like a toreador, you know, a matador, and just did it. Ole, can you come on, coach, you do it. You know, so let O-line step up and do it. If I can't do it, I want to see you do it. He just took his arm. Hey, come on, coach, show me how to do it.
But it did bring up the conversation this past week. A lot of schools were taking shots at Kirby Smart because some of those five-star guys didn't make it into the first round. And I'm like, I don't know that that's a Kirby Smart issue, or is that a rivals and the industry ranking guys incorrectly issue, but he did get some of it. And I know it's kind of a different tangent here, but when a guy like a Tony Casillas, you know what you're getting there. George Pickens, a guaranteed guy. You know, Stokes and Campbell and Azeez Ojulari, those guys popping in are great. But when Coach, when you mentioned Kelee Ringo and how that was, you know, beneficial for him, if he's going to be injured, last year was a perfect time for it to happen. But it reminds me, Azeez Ojulari missed his first year. So he basically played 2 years for Georgia. We might see the same thing with a Kelee Ringo. Kelee misses his first year and basically plays 2 years and goes pro. And for a lot of people who are banging on some of these five stars and guys not getting taken in the first round, how many of them only played 3 years or 2 years?
That's good. And you don't see that in the past. You never – the guy was around 4 years and all that. But now, you know – Pickens could have a situation like that if he doesn't come back and rehab as quick as we hope. Hopefully he can. But one thing I would say to the people being critical, how about the player? Doesn't he take some of the blame here? I mean, his ass is the one out there. The coach can't play for him. You know, if he's not having
a year early,
a lot of that sometimes as a player, just not as good as he was supposed to be. You know what I mean? So, definitely, it's a two-way street, no question about it. But usually speaking, if a guy can make it and develop as a player, he's going to develop. And sometimes you get a little better coaching and in certain positions. But usually speaking, if a guy's got it, he's making it in the pros. If he's playing at some small 1AA school or some AI school, he's going to make it. So,
oh, absolutely. That Jake will tell you, when we go to camps and you'll hear these NFL guys telling the kids, especially at the rivals camps, you know, when they get up and speak to them, they're like, look, if you can play, the NFL will find you. They have staffs, you know, 20 guys deep whose job it is to find the kids that can play, to find the guys. And a lot of you are like, well, I need to go to Alabama. I need to go to Georgia. I need to go to Clemson. I need to go to Ohio State so the NFL will see me so I can get tape out there. No, trust me. Doesn't matter where you are. You can be at Sanford. They'll find you. You know, if you're
now more than ever. Now more than ever.
Yeah. So
didn't the Falcons draft someone from the South Dakota College of the Mines or something?
Yes, I believe they signed a guy from College of the Mines. That's an undrafted free agent, I believe.
That's Colorado College of Mines. And
I thought there was.
To be honest with you, I have no idea. I don't know where Mines still are, and I don't know why that we need a college for them. But I'm glad we have it.
State, they probably got a mine.
You know, Roddy, give a call to whoever mine. Publishes that site.
Anyway, speaking of places that we may not know about, I don't know about that one, but I do know of a place that no matter what small town you're in, if you're in North Georgia, our friends over at Aaron Over at Doors will come to your house. They will find you if you have an issue. You say, hey, look, I need some commercial work done. I need a commercial repair. I need installation. I need a loading dock. I need storefront security doors. I need high-speed doors. I need industrial fans. You know, I need curtain walls. Any of that type of stuff for your small business in a small town, it won't matter. They will come and find you. If you're in Gwinnett, Cobb, DeKalb, Barrow, Habersham, Stevens, Dawson, Hall, Forsyth, White, Walton, Clark, Oconee, Cherokee, any of the cities or locales or neighborhoods in those places, they will come out to you and they will do it. And it will be the best installation, repair, assessment that you could ever get. So our friends at Aaron Overhead Doors will take care of you. And again, they're a customer service company. They are here to make your life easier, to fix it fast, fix it correctly, and then they will check up and say, hey, is everything up to your liking? They're not going to just hear tires squealing as they pull out of your driveway and, you know, throw the bill out the window and say, we'll never see you again. These guys are all about customer service, and they will take care of you. And we missed Double Point Stews. I'm hoping everybody that wanted their pizzas yesterday, you know, or your salad or your custom pasta, you know, your sandwiches. I hope you did it yesterday. If not, hey, you can still jump on the Your Pie app right now and order it and pick it up. You can either, it'll be ready to pick up or they'll bring it out to your car. Either way, reach out to all the Your Pie locations. You can try the new Key Lime Cream Pie Gelato. Get that when you, if you want something really good. I had it the other day. I'm going to tell you, that was legit.
And you're a key lime and specialist.
I'm a key lime snob. You know, everyone's like, oh, we have key lime. I'm like, you got these fake key lime flavoring that you throw into everything. Kit Kat key limes, I don't know about that. M&M's came out with a key lime flavoring. It was not good. But our friends at Your Pie have a fantastic key lime gelato you need to check out. And, of course, their chicken bacon ranch sandwich. That's lights out. So may not know where the Mines is, but I do know where a great pizza is. It's at Your Pie. So check them out.
One of the questions we had today was, you know, obviously with all this surrounding defensive backs, is how does recruiting factor into this? How do the Bulldogs kind of make up some ground in this 2022 class where that's concerned? They're already off to a strong start. You got three guys right off the bat who are, they're all Rivals 250 guys. You got Marquise Groves-Killebrew out of Brookwood, who I love, I think, is a guy on the rise. Didn't do a lot of camp action this year, but I think that he's a guy who people are really starting to buy into a little bit more heavily than they did initially. I've always been a fan, think that he's a good player, a guy that can help you immediately. You got Deion Bowie out of Bainbridge. An absolute screamer back there. Small, undersized, but a guy who has proven time and time again, whether it be 7-on-7 or camps, that he's a guy who can get out there and contribute. And then, of course, just up the road from Athens, you got Malachi Starks at Jefferson High School, a versatile athlete, a guy who could probably play either side of the ball. They're thinking safety right off the bat, and I think that's a great fit for him. Just one of those guys, though, that's going to have to – it'll take him a little bit of time, I think, to develop because he's been a jack-of-all-trades for the Dragons. But I was looking over the list of offers of who else could be in this class. And I'm just going to run down the names that I know Georgia is still involved with. Jaheim Singletary, five-star, Ohio State commit out of Jacksonville, Florida. He's a guy that they're not going to give up on. He had Georgia in the mix up until the very end, right until that Ohio State commitment. That was a little bit of a surprise. Be interesting to see, does that closer to home factor end up playing there? You've got beyond that, Toriano Pride out of St. Louis, Missouri, another four-star guy. Undecided right now, Georgia involved there. You've got Marcus Allen out of Marietta, Walton High School. They've pulled several guys out of there. Marcus Allen, the brother of I'm blanking on his name. The kid who went to the kid who initially went to Notre Dame and is now at Georgia Tech. Damn it, Mark or
you're fired.
Okay, I can't. I'm sorry, I can't remember every kid's name for the last six classes. Anyway, he's got a brother. He went there. He was a guy Georgia recruited as well. Marcus Allen. I don't know Eric Allen? It's been hot and heavy with Georgia, but you got to think possibly it starts to pick back up. Jordan Allen out of Lafayette, Louisiana, a guy who's really been on the rise for a three-star guy. Seems like everybody's involved with Jordan Allen right now. Miami really pushing hard. LSU, you got to think, kind of kicking under the tires there as well. But Georgia has been very involved. Kamari Wilson out of IMG Academy. That's the first name to keep circled on your list, in my opinion. Already set to come up for an official visit. He'll be here this summer. You know, you're talking about one of the top safeties in the nation in him. Daylon Everett, if a teammate of his over there at IMG Academy, already locked in on his official visit. Antonio Kite, a guy we've interviewed previously. In the state of Alabama, could be a hard pull from over there, but they're involved. Trey Donaldson, a safety out of Tallahassee. Emory Floyd, a safety out of Powder Springs. Feels like Auburn's surging there. Who knows? We'll see how they're able to sell it. JQ Hardaway out of Phoenix City, Alabama. I'm talking about, listen, this is just fours and threes and fives all over the board. You're involved with, outside of the three commits you already have, 15, 20 of the top players at that position.
It's clear
that they're, yeah, Traquan Figgins as well out of Oxford, Alabama. So it's clear that they're prioritizing this aside from just, you know, going into the transfer portal. And, you know, they're going through the recruiting realm to take care of these needs in 2022.
And Jake, I think you're thinking of Derek Allen from
Derek Allen. Damn it. Jake,
you mentioned Auburn, and so I wanted to ask Coach real fast because I didn't text him about this, so I'll just do it on the show, whatever. The graphic that Auburn put out yesterday, did you see that? Were they taking credit for Matthew Stafford and Todd Gurley?
You know, people make mistakes. I mean, whoever figured that one out was smoking some bad weed, man. I mean, that was just –
I get, because Georgia did the same thing with Scott Cochran. They pointed out all the guys that he had developed into first rounders. And everyone's like, well, see, Georgia did the same thing. I'm like, no, it's not the same. Because basically we had one guy. You're like, here's who he's worked with. He's joining the staff here. And I get this. It is similar. But you're not saying, hey, let's pull our entire staff and everybody that they peripherally coached, you know.
It's a bad trend all around.
There
was some Boise State on there. There were some Georgia guys.
Matthew Stafford found the end zone at Auburn more than some of those players at Auburn.
Is this Ralph Edwards, This Is Your Life? Is everybody that ever coached on there? Derek Mason, who have they had at Vanderbilt that's gone to the pros?
On defense? Oh, man. They had more offensive guys.
Zach Cunningham.
Yeah, the linebacker. The
guy that I could think of.
Yeah.
But if, I mean,
linebacker and a receiver.
Listen, I love Mike Bobo as much as anybody else. But when you think of Mike Bobo and Todd Gurley, what comes to your mind? What comes to my mind is South Carolina.
I give him the damn ball.
Yeah. South Carolina.
Defended that call relentlessly. So
I just want to know what Mike Bobo's phone looked like yesterday when that graphic gets out, because all these Georgia people saying, come on, Mike. Not that he made the graphic or had anything to do with it, I'm sure, but just the fact that he's on there with it.
Kirby sent him a few crying.
I do want to give a shout out to Mike Bobo, because his son, Drew, was at the Rivals camp, and we got to say hi to him. And he says his health is good. He's very excited about what's going on in Auburn. And it was just good to see Mike Bobo again. The guy's still razor sharp and funny as hell. And, He had some fingers. He teased us a good bit, but and he took the abuse back. So
how does the kid look? How does Drew look?
I like Drew, man.
A hell of a lot bigger than when I coached against him.
he's a big old cat now, man. He's
coming in here on the first, isn't he?
He'll be here on the first.
In Georgia very early.
He's big. He's not a elite guy yet, but he's got some growing to do. But he's big, and of course he's some. Fundamentally sound, because you know he's had all those coaches, he's grown up in it, And I look back to my son, who's 6 foot, 160 pounds. And they used to go head to head, and you know, he and Drew would just bang on each other in the lines. And then Mike would whisper to the guy over at Prince Avenue, "Hey, run this against up Roddy's defense." Some bitch would rip us a new one. I hated him for it, but again, great to see a kid like Drew grow up and get offers all over the place. I'm very excited for Drew. Kid looks really good.
I want to say this thing else about Mike Bobo. I just always remember like recruiting stories when he was at Georgia and all the recruits saying, "Oh, I loved Coach Bobo because I played video games against him." Yeah. I'm looking back here and seeing all these video games here at Classic City Eats, and I might play a few after we're done with this.
No, that's, I mean, Auburn getting him as a recruiting guy, I mean, A, as an offensive recruiter, fantastic, but as a recruiter, I mean, there were times when Georgia was not nearly as highly thought of as it was now, and Alabama was still Alabama. For him to be able to go in and get a Malcolm Mitchell and a Jay Rowe right out from under Kirby Smart, you know, and go at those times they went head to head, you know, with the Chris Conley and guys like that. That's it's just some of the stuff that Mike Bobo's been able to pull off. It's, you hate to have him still in the conference. Like, go back to Colorado, Mike.
Colorado State's a fun place.
Well, I mean, some of the quotes I've read from Bo Nix, it sounds like that offense is a bit of a breath of fresh air for Auburn's offensive players.
I mean, compared to what they have been doing. So, anyway, I didn't mean to turn it to the Mike Bobo show. I just wanted to give him a shout out for you brought up the Auburn thing. And I do want to, if anybody got a hell of a lot of grief about that and would give it right back, would be Mike. So our hats off to him and continued wishes for his continued good health. So, all right. Any other questions, Jake?
No, I think that was about it. Everybody just wanted to talk DBs today, as you might expect. So,
talk what?
You know, between that and recruiting, DBs. So, yeah. I think we pretty well hammered that topic home for everybody. But, States, listen, if you didn't catch our notes on Monday, go check those out. We had 23 updates fresh off of the Rivals camps. All these guys talking about where Georgia stands with them. We're putting the stories out. Go read the one today from Braden Joyner. I really like that one. I just think that he's a great kid, too, and fun to talk to, man.
I can't believe you said he was too small.
Yeah. Oh, that, yes, that's
you are a terrible analyst.
Yes.
What were you thinking?
So a full comment, Braden Joyner gets to the Rivals camp, and I'm like, that guy, that looks a little small, because you know, he's listed 6'3". I don't know, he's 6'3", but I'm just thinking that's not a typical Georgia Alabama guard for a guy to have as many offers. He looks a little undersized. And in the drills that they do when they go offense versus defense, the defense gets to know when the ball is going to be snapped. They don't have to worry about the run. They basically just do a pass rush. There's no help from, you know, you don't get chipped or anything like that. It's just one-on-one. And all these guys, you know, they try to get their sets. They try to backpedal, the kick step. They do all this stuff to take on the, as Coach was talking about, you know, sometimes we'll see a left tackle take on a 180-pound defensive end and a nine technique and just gets to run around him. But Braden Joyner gets out there at the right guard, and normally, you know, you're backing up trying to keep your pass protection. Well, Braden figured out it would be a lot easier to pass protect if I knocked the dude across from me on his ass the minute the ball snapped, and he takes a step forward. The defensive tackle has no idea this is coming and gets knocked back about 3 feet. I'm like, okay, now I see why everybody in the world wants that kid. And he had a great story at UGA Sports. You need to check that out. It's on the front page today. You know, give, and you know, he's got the gloves on. So when you get a chance, be sure to check that out. Plus the story about the defensive backs. And of course, if you haven't checked out that Paul Feinbaum interview, this isn't just, you know, again, this isn't Paul on his show saying something about Georgia. This is a 30-minute interview with he and Coach Donnan, and he tells some funny stories about Coach Donnan, so you need to check that out. But he talks about UGA. The stuff he said about Dan Mullen was brutal. You know, talking about the way the season ended last year was an embarrassment. His thoughts about, you know, what would it take for Clemson to end, you know, the Clemson's run, you know, how Oklahoma's going to be really good, and his thoughts about
big
Nick Saban.
Big love
a lot of good stuff there.
Big love for Athens, Georgia in there as well.
Oh, yeah.
And a comment about how George is leading the way in the name, image, and likeness. That's going to only be a bigger story as we go in every aspect of what we do.
I think what him talking about that, and then Mac Jones talking about the – again, that's another guy we've had on, Mac
Mac Brown. Mac Jones is a quarterback now.
Yeah, I know. I'm still in an NFL draft, but having Mac Brown come on and talk about the fact that you might only see 5-10 guys taken in a class because of the whole roster management thing, unless they fix that. There are some stuff that have been on these last few shows with Coach Don and Dane that are going to blow up going forward. I mean, heck, we got Governor Kemp is going to be signing that name, image, likeness thing here in Athens, July 1st?
He's going to sign it tomorrow over there at the stadium, but it becomes in effect July 1st.
Right. So it's coming. So it's.
I'll put in the media request. We'll get them on.
There you go. We do know some people. We'll try it.
Oh, and we have Jack Bowerly. We'll probably put that up tomorrow. Important for a few reasons, one of which the season may be over, but Olympic trials are on the way. Within, I think, like 40 days at this point. That's pretty good commentary from quite an Olympic stalwart, I guess you could say, in Jack Bowerly.
I'm just going to ask you as a tease here, all of these guys here, Jack Bowerly's been the head swimming for men and women. You can't answer this, Dane.
I can't answer it.
42 years. How many times has the combined has his teams – been in the top 10 in the country in 42 years?
I would say 35.
That's a good guess. That's probably about what I would say too.
Roddy?
I'll go 37.
51.
Out of 44?
Out of 42 years, 51 times.
Oh, you're counting.
Men and women.
I don't know if the question was phrased properly. I didn't understand.
Yeah. I said, how can I phrase it in more salient stats? Listen to me, man.
But my favorite thing with Bowerly, and this is at another place that we that I was involved with working wise, but and speaking of Olympics, he actually called a show that I was working on when he was walking through the procession, because the time change was when I was on air, and it was the coolest thing for him to talk while he was in the little Olympic procession.
So marching into the stadium, and he calls the radio show.
He called the radio show, and like they said, the time difference was it was perfect for the radio show, and he was saying, "Oh look, I got this NBA player right next to me right here walking with me, and I got like this Olympic gymnast right next to me and this and that." And it was pretty cool. I mean, he's one of the greatest people for Georgia because he goes to every single event at Georgia, whether it's tennis, whether it's football, whether it's basketball, whether it's baseball, whether it's softball, whether it's soccer. And so does the players that play for him. I mean, you see him at volleyball games, you see him everywhere. It's a great thing that Coach Bowerly does, and he's a great guy.
I wonder if he was had his offer. Did he take a chair into the procession with like Reese Hoffa did?
He might.
If you ever get a chance, ask Reese Hoffa about taking a chair into the into that processional, because he knew he's going to have to stand up there forever. Mm-hmm. So he takes one of those small folding chairs, and he has all these NBA guys who are tired of standing around for 2 hours offering him thousands of dollars for his chair. He's like, nope.
Reese Hoffa has a million good stories.
He does. But so does Jack Bowerly. So be sure to tune into that. And if you missed the ones with Jeff Wallace and Manny Diaz, go check those out because those are fantastic as well.
And good luck to them this week.
Absolutely. It starts up. So anyway, we will be back onto our regular schedule next Tuesday noon. Be sure to check us out, and we will see you later.